This is Dissecting Dragons, a speculative fiction podcast for writers and readers by writers and readers.
Welcome to Dissecting Dragons, the speculative fiction podcast for writers and readers by writers and readers. I'm Madeline Vaughan.
And I'm Jules Ironside. This week, breaking out the F-jar, our favourite swears in speculative fiction.
So, just in case anyone was not sure...
Or you're easily offended.
We are going to say, we are going to put a warning on this episode. We are going to be swearing in this episode. And because the episode is about swearing, that does mean that we'll just be swearing. Not just for the fun of it, but yeah, we're not going to hold ourselves back. So if that's not your cup of tea, totally understand, you might want to give this episode a miss, because this is all about them swears. Starting from now. Before we start, Jules, I just want to ask you, what's your favourite swear word?
Do you know, this is something it's more of a phrase. I have swearing phrases. I quite like bollocks and hell. Bollocks and hell comes out when, you know, I've dropped something really important and it's smashed to smithereens. And the one, driving is excellent for turning off the internal editor. I was coming out of what is admittedly a very windy, roaded Cotswold village, which means You drive carefully. If you've got a brain in your head, or even two brain cells to rub together, you drive carefully. And I was doing the speed limit, I was being careful, which is just as well, because some idiot on the other side came round on the wrong side of the road, heading straight for me, causing me to do an emergency brake. Luckily, there was no one behind me, and he sort of skimmed around me and went careering off down this windy road. And this, I mean, we don't have mountains in the Cotswolds, but it's quite hilly.
Yeah.
People have come off this road and literally put their cars about 20 foot up in trees. And they've had to get search and rescue out to get people out of these cars in trees if they've survived and things. I've actually seen this happen. So this is not something you mess around with. So no. I would say it was a perfect situation for a really good swear. And without even thinking about it, my mouth opened and I came out with, "What the fuck do you think you're fucking well doing, you fucking goat buggering wank stick?" And I remember then starting the car, driving off and then going, "What the hell is a wank stick? Where did that come from?" I have to admit, that has come in handy in a few more car driving situations where someone's been on the wrong bloody side of the road. And that is the thing about swearing, is if you paint the ceiling blue with words like that, it relieves tension really, really quickly. They've actually done psychological studies where it's proved to reduce the effect of pain.
Yep.
So women in labour screaming swear words, it's a natural painkiller almost in the psychological sense. And it's the same. It's far better for me to do that than get out of my car with a baseball bat, which obviously I don't carry a baseball bat around with me, but hypothetically. So having a really good swear, which affects nobody, and then driving home much calmer because I've got it out of my system, is the better way to do things, in my opinion.
I absolutely agree. I've got an odd thing in that around the house, I tend to swear in English for the most part. And you know, yours is bollocks and hell. I will say bollocks and ice. Bollocks and ice.
They could be the same place.
Indeed.
Hell may have frozen over.
How meta. I'm trying to think of the other. I go through different phases where I'll go have a different swear word which will immediately sort of jump to my mouth. It also depends what I'm writing at the time. So when I was writing a lot of Zachary, I would go, "Oh, sons of the gods," because that's what he says.
Yeah.
And then when I was writing a lot of Aaron, I said pisspox and plagues, and Kestrel is holy hellfire, or holy bloody hellfire. You know, bloody hell is another one. It's good to have a good bloody in there every now and again. It makes you feel British. but I get road rage in French.
I know, it's hilarious.
You've been in the car with me when I got road rage in French. It's entirely my mother's fault. Yeah, she's French. And she seemed unconscious to it. And you know, one day I was with her and I said, "Oh putain," or I said "connard" or something like that. No, I think it was putain, which is the worst French swear word. And actually, pretty much the most commonly used. It is the equivalent of fuck, but it means whore.
Yes.
And so I said that, and my mother went, oh, Madeline, where did you learn that word? I'm like, have you ever heard yourself when you're driving? And she was totally unconscious to it, because what will happen is that she'll be talking to me. She would have been talking to me in English, but having a perfectly nice conversation. It'll be like, I really don't think. And then she'll go back into speaking in English, and I'm like, is she unconscious of it? It's just the rage hits, and she becomes full Mediterranean, and then she's back to being, you know, an expat. So yeah, because of her, my road rage is almost entirely in French. But swear words, I think, are great, and the more creative they are, the nice thing about it is that you can actually swear without actually using a swear word.
Yeah,
and that's almost funnier in some way. I tell you what, there is nothing. I will always laugh every time Samuel L. Jackson says motherfucker, and I just rewatched a compilation of him saying motherfucker. It doesn't sound like a word by the end, but there's just this one where he's leaning over a car with he's a detective or something. He's got a gun in his hand and he's leaning over a car and there's just civilians and he just goes, disperse, motherfuckers! And I just think that's just one of the best lines I've ever heard. It's just, disperse, motherfuckers! So yeah, I'm a fan of swearing, but obviously best, the funniest swear words are the ones which are used at the right time.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to be looking at swear words in speculative fiction and how they're used and how you can swear without actually using swear words.
Yeah.
So where should we start, Jules?
I think we should start with, why do some people hate swearing? I think because sometimes, I'll hark back to a short story I wrote, which I don't think I'll share with anyone because it's really not very good. It was back when I was first sort of coming out of the closet as a writer, but the feedback I got on it was, yeah, love the story. And this was almost unanimous, about 80% of the people who read it, so it must have just been that sort of target group.
Yeah,
loved it right up until the last line where it said, but I really fucking hate yellow. And the whole point was, this person was dealing with an illness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this trivial thing that they managed to get hold of to really swear about because the rest of it was too awful in a way. And that made it blackly funny, or at least that's what I was trying for at the time. And everyone said, oh, love it, apart from that last line. And it's like, wow, that one, literally that one F-bomb just really put people off. And it's like, why? Because it is language. At one point, that wasn't even considered a swear word. You know, I mean, admittedly,
yeah.
They're not really sure when we started using it, but it would have been after the Norman Conquest, probably a couple of hundred years after. So it's been around for about 1,000 years. And sometimes it's like short Siri in English. You wouldn't say, you wouldn't say sort of in a Victorian vapid voice, oh, I must go and powder my nose or whatever. I need to go to the ladies' room. In fact, they wouldn't refer to it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or I need to relieve myself. It would be, I need to go and piss, because that is literally what you would say. It's like a rollover from when the Danes and the Dane law ruled in Britain. You would call something what it was.
Yeah.
And it's the whole, when people get really, really upset about the word cunt as well. And it's like, you know, really, that's just the name of a body part. If you go back to Chaucer, okay, it's quinta, because that's how it was said. But it's no worse than saying arm or leg at that point in time. So at what point did we shift over and suddenly say, oh God, no, my delicate sensibilities can't cope with that word?
Yeah. I think the problem is that there is this relationship with swear words and vulgarity. And I feel it should be pointed out that swearing does not have to be vulgar in the sense of what you think. You can swear, you can use swear words without being a vulgar person. And when I talk about vulgar, I mean disrespectful. I mean perverted, perverse, disgusting.
There's a sense of almost illiteracy in the old Austen type where someone just wasn't very educated and has resisted the attempts to become educated. that kind of.
Yeah, and there's this relationship. People believe that, you know, there's this relationship between if you're swearing, it must mean you're not clever, or it must mean that you are not a nice person. And people say, well, you know, if you were educated properly, I'm going to put on the voice, if you were educated properly, you'd be able to find an alternative word to rather than swear. And you can say, yeah, but you could find an alternative word to everything. Have you seen how large the English language is? Like, seriously, swear words are not bad onto themselves. It's how they're used. And Stephen Fry came out with something which he said that some of the cleverest people he knows swear. And the moment you say you shouldn't be swearing because it's not right to swear, and that it makes you less intelligent if you do swear, is the moment you are basically saying it's more intelligent if you limit your vocabulary, which doesn't actually make sense. Now, I do believe that swearing has a time and a place.
Yeah.
And an age group. But at the same time, I also think that most kids have heard all swear words. Most kids know what they are. And you can't just pretend that they don't exist. And you can't just hide a chunk of our extensive vocabulary simply because of an ideal which is outdated at this point in time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, if you're swearing every other word, it loses its power, because swear words are kind of actually meant to be powerful. That's why they work so well. They're powerful in that they convey something larger. They're extremes. And in this way, you know, we use words like amazing now. Amazing used to be a lot more powerful as a word, but because it's a lot more commonplace, it's lost its power. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's things like terrifying or terrific. Terrific used to mean it inspired terror.
Yeah.
And awful used to mean it inspired awe. And now they've become slang terms, haven't they, really?
Yeah, and lovely, I mean, used to mean it was something for which could be loved. And love itself used to be a very significant, a very powerful word, and it still is, again, in some context. But because of its wider usage, it has lost its power. And swear words retained their power in some circles, simply because we still don't use them that often, which is good, actually. Because it means when they do come out, they tend to be more powerful. So again, we go to the situation where you have a woman giving birth. If she's never sworn before in her life, and then as she's in labor, she starts screaming, holy bloody hellfire, you know, that'll probably be a greater relief for her, simply because of the power of the word. And when we think that a word in itself conveys our emotions, it carries our emotions, it carries our intention on it. If you keep a word inside and don't use it, except for on that special occasion, it will carry more out.
Yeah, I think there's an element of perhaps everyone should ask themselves at some point why they don't like a particular word. Now, is it because you don't like that particular word for no other reason? Yeah, why? I don't get that one. Apparently this is a big thing. People don't like the word moist. Do you have a problem with slightly damp as well? I mean, seriously. Is it because it was overused in erotica or something that I'm clearly just not hip enough to get? Because I'm like, moist isn't an offensive word.
No, but it doesn't sound nice.
Moist.
Moist.
Well, not when you say it like that. That's really quite creepy. But
you see, I'm saying it, and I know that some of our listeners are shuddering every time I say moist.
Okay, you're clearly evil, because why would you want to torture our listeners? But, yeah, I think, as you've illustrated, perhaps
it's the same yourself reason you want to torture your readers, Jules.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. Anyway.
Writers.
Why do certain words offend you? Not you personally, but just in general. And also, this is a complete aside, but Americans, if you are listening, it's not twat, it's twat. It's ah. Okay.
I've never heard anyone say twat.
It's cropping up a lot more in American movies.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Who the hell?
And they pronounce it twat. And it's like, no, 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 it's twat. A as in at.
Yeah.
To rhyme with hat.
Yeah. How could you even mistake that? Twat. Twat is a great word. Twit is also a great word. Twonk. I like twit. I like prat. Bollocks is fantastic. Balls as well.
Yeah.
I like my Bobby Singer Supernatural. Oh, balls. Balls and idiots. That's another word. Some swear words work with certain accents and some don't. I have real trouble with asshole, okay? Because, see, this is the thing with ass and arse, okay? You can't say arsehole because you sound stupid.
Oh, yes, you can.
Okay, you can say arsehole.
You're an arsehole.
Like, oh, you're an absolute arsehole. Yeah, again, it's about the accent.
That's the point, though. I tend to go a bit Irish when I say arsehole. Although, you could just go German and say arschloch, which I think sounds so much better, in my opinion.
See, okay, so this is something, if we happen to have any American listeners, okay, there's a difference between an ass and an arse, okay? You can be a jackass, as in A-S-S, okay?
That's a type of donkey.
Is a type of donkey, okay? An arse is a bottom.
Rear bottom.
It is the backside. The anus. So that's an arse, okay? So you can have an arsehole, okay? If you have an asshole, you have a donkey hole. So I presume what you're implying is the ass is arsehole, and you've just missed out the arse in the ass. So I guess that's what asshole is supposed to mean. But then people say, oh, yeah, slap that ass. And I'm just there like, don't slap the ass, it'll kick you. Have you ever met a donkey? So yeah, I see people using ass as an A-S-S, now as arse. It's gotten mixed up. And I feel that this needs to be addressed soon before someone slaps an ass and deeply regrets it.
Or kicks an ass.
Yeah, or kicks an ass. Kicks an ass. and gets kicked back. Because, you know, also, you know, I've had a call from the RSPCA. Yeah, it is the RSPCA. The RSPCA, who would like all these people to stop abusing asses, please, guys. Seriously.
We've just gone on such a tangent.
I'm sorry, it really bothers me, okay?
Oh, no, that's fine. There are ones that bother me as well.
So, yeah. So we've got twat and arse.
Ultimately, it all comes down to the offence side of it. It comes down to being conditioned to find certain words offensive. And I think particularly girls, in some respects, are conditioned to find certain words, particularly words that are euphemistic of female genitalia for some reason. You know, they're the lowest of the low kind of thing. You don't use words like that. And it's like, no, those things have been... Those words have been used and changed around so much now that they don't really even mean the same thing anymore.
Yeah. I think there is something, though, which is that the worst swear words within our vocabulary are all female-related. You noticed?
Yeah. And there's two ways of looking at that. One is you can look at it and say, well, it's clearly an attempt to demean women and... you know, keep them small and put them in place, and to be a bitch or whatever, to call a man a bitch is emasculating. Not necessarily. Or you can look at it another way. You can flip it and you can say, wow, all the really powerful swear words are female. So basically, what I call my genitals is enough to make old ladies faint. That's a powerful swear word kind of thing. So you can look at it in two completely different ways.
Yeah, I tend to look at it in the negative way.
Well, that's a... You know,
no one can stop me. But yeah, we the worst swear words within our vocabulary. But if we analyse swear words, you know, the traditional swear words within the English vocabulary, and in the French one as well, putain is obviously whore, usually applied to women, female whore. Correct me if I'm wrong, anyone who's listening, you know, anyone who's Frencher than me. Bitch, obviously, female dog, cunt, bastard has lost a lot of its power. You go, ah, you bastard.
That's a bit of a funny one, really, because, you know, once being an illegitimate child would have been a real issue, and it's far less of one now than...
See, the interesting thing, though, is that bastard and bitch can also be used in the everyday without it being rude.
Yeah, I mean, they can be basically comparative.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can almost be used in a complimentary fashion. Which is why when there's one particular author who is basically starting a campaign to get any sort of female-related swear words just completely banned. It's insane. Oh, it's Lisa Jane Smith.
Who?
Lisa Jane Smith. She wrote The Vampire Diaries.
Oh.
And you should read this blog at some point. I'll send you a link. It's completely nuts, okay? There are certain things, there are certain ways of talking to women and actually talking to men as well that I would like to see changed. But it's not specific words. It's a specific mindset, I think.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing does need changing. But yeah, so... Anyway, I've gone off on a slight tangent there. But, you know, it's quite funny calling a bloke a bitch. I'm sorry, but it is.
Yeah.
I don't think you call a girl a bastard quite so much, but, you know, that might change as well.
Nothing can stop me. I'll call whoever I want a bastard. But another one, the dog's bollocks. If something's the dog's bollocks,
the mutt's nuts.
Yeah, the mutt's nuts. For some reason... male dogs, it's a good thing. Bitch is a bad thing, but if we're talking about the genitalia of a male dog, you know. they changed it. They said it changed it to the bee's knees. You know, I don't know what that's even supposed to mean. I don't know what... I mean, I presume the dog's bollocks, as in it's good, comes from, you know, it's to do with breeding.
I imagine so.
Yeah, but I don't know what you're supposed to do with bee's knees. Like, leave those bees alone. Can't even do anything with their knees. They're so tiny. It makes it sound like I've tried.
It's like, I think some things are a little bit sort of which family you come from. Because, okay, I'm half Irish, half Scottish, and saying feck isn't something that happens a lot, but it was never considered a really bad word. And it was, you know, certainly when I was sitting up playing cards with my gran and my great aunts, and they'd be like, "Oh, you've got that feck in hand," kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like that wasn't necessarily a bad thing, and it was usually they got a bit carried away at that point because you didn't necessarily do that in front of the kids, but that's what it was. But it, do you know what it actually means? It comes from, it's originally a Scottish word, and it, from fake, and it comes from. A slurring of the English for force or efficiency. It's got nothing to do with any other kind of swear word.
Oh, I did not know that.
And it's also Irish slang for throw. So when people are getting offended by, oh, feck off and things like that, it's really the fact that people are saying, oh, get lost, basically. It's not a bad word. It's the attitude behind it. It must be. Just because all you're really saying is, oh, force off. Literally,
I'm going to say that now in the day to day. Oh, force off!
Oh, force off!
I get told off for saying bloody though. Now, someone said, oh yeah, I'm not going to talk too much about it, but yeah, I got told off for saying bloody by a family member, and I said it's not a swear word, and they said yes, it is. It's a swear word, and I'm like, they used it in Harry fucking Potter. It's not a swear word. You've got Ron Weasley running around saying, that's bloody brilliant. You know, that's not a swear word. You know, I'm 24 years old. I can't walk around saying bloody. It's like, no, people will look down on you. And I'm like, I don't care if they look down on me. I'm saying bloody. It makes me English. It's fine.
The thing is, it's a descriptive word, meaning, you know, covered in blood. But it's no worse than saying poxy, except that bloody stuck and poxy didn't, presumably because we got rid of smallpox.
Well, I don't know, give it a little while, those anti-vaccine people are trying to get it back around.
And on that delightful thought, I'm going to steer it in another direction. Okay, it's interesting you brought up Harry Potter, because swearing in children's fantasy, is entirely possible.
Tis.
Harry Potter generally didn't say anything worse than, I don't think they actually said bloody in the books, except at the very, very end.
They didn't. In the film, actually, the worst they ever said was piss off.
Yeah, which would have been completely reasonable. But yeah.
And J.K. Rowling actually said that, you know, she wished she could swear because Ron swore a lot and she didn't get to write that.
Yeah. And I think her best one was, it was, I can't remember exactly what was happening, but it says, and Ron said something which made Hermione gasp, Ron! You know, which is a really clever way of swearing without swearing and without making up a really stupid word that just sounds ridiculous, which is what happens in the Wind on Fire trilogy.
Well, I was going to say, just before we go on to the Wind on Fire trilogy, I think one of the best ways that she got away with swearing, J.K. Rowling, without actually swearing, was Lee Jordan commentating the Quidditch matches.
Yes.
And you have Professor McGonagall who keeps cutting over him.
Yeah.
And you just have Lee Jordan just saying, "You filthy cheat! You cheating little butt!" And then it gets cut off.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was it was remarkable that I re-listened to it and I'm like, they don't actually swear, but you reading it, you like you knew exactly what was happening, but there were no swear words ever actually in the thing.
Yeah, I mean the worst they say is a git, and that's usually Ron again.
Yeah, Ron gets all the great words. Git is a fantastic.
Yes, sometimes it's just that someone is just a git kind of thing. That is
yep.
the best descriptive word for them.
Yeah, but sometimes they do make up new words, and sometimes that's successful and sometimes that isn't.
And sometimes you end up with something like the wind on fire, where pomp prune is a really, really bad word.
Yeah, that doesn't convey any.
It conveys nothing.
But then you have things like Firefly, where they say the Goran, and it's obviously the reason that really worked is that it's because it's meant to be goddamn, but it's
yeah.
Goram. And so it has the same syllable structure.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the slurration of a word over time, isn't it? Like we say,
yeah.
Some people might say blimey, thinking it's the lesser of two evils, but what you're actually saying is God blind me.
Yeah, and yeah.
And
or,
it's the
yeah,
same with if you were to say poppycock. I mean, okay, you must be Etonian if you're saying poppycock, but poppycock actually comes from the Dutch meaning pape kako, which means soft shit.
Ah, lovely.
So that's what you're actually saying when you say poppycock.
Yeah, poppycock. I'll tell that to the next person I ever meet when I go back in time and meet someone saying poppycock. did you know,
I have
sir?
To admit, I haven't met anybody under the age of 70 who uses the word poppycock, but...
I'm trying to think of some other very...
I mean, I've got a really good example from children's fiction. Well, I say children's. Watership Down. The rabbits have their own language called Lapine, and you're gradually introduced to the language throughout the book, and you gradually pick up more and more and more of it. Like, for example, Silflay means to eat or to go outside to eat, to graze.
Yeah.
And Hraka means rabbit poo. And... It gets to the point where Adams has done such a good job of getting these little words into your head that by the end of the book, when the big battle's going down and Bigwig is fighting General Woundwort, and it looks like Bigwig's about to die because he's completely outclassed. And because Bigwig's just really brave, he just turns around and says, Silflay hraka u emble ra, which means, eat shit, you stinking tyrant. And I think that is one of the cleverest ways of getting... you know, the sense, the real sense of a proper, you know, fuck you into a children's book that I've ever seen.
That is very good. I think about the limitations, especially also when you've got TV series, because books, in some ways, it can be a little bit more lenient because you can play around with it.
Yeah.
But Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, right?
Yeah.
They did some fantastic things with swear words. And one of the things they did was I seem to be having tremendous difficulty with my lifestyle. which doesn't sound bad at all. But apparently, when translated into some alien languages, it's the most awful insult in the entire universe. And I really liked that idea, because it was such an innocent idea, which is that something that sounds very reasonable could be, when translated into another language, the most intolerable thing you could possibly say. And yeah, that was something that they did, interesting swear words for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where I don't think they actually ever really swore themselves.
No.
But they had all these new words as well. Speaking of children's shows set in space, Voltron: Defenders of the Universe, I think that's what it's called, the new series by Netflix, fantastic. It's a remake of the old 80s anime. Really, really enjoyable. And they have a swear word, which is Quiznik. And they throw it around quite a lot. They go, oh, what the quiz neck? And I think at one point one of the characters just says, well, shut your quiz neck. And it's quite funny because you see the adult characters in the background when one of the characters says, "Well, why don't you shut your quiz neck?" or something like that. And someone just and the character who's had that yelled says, "I don't think you're using that word correct," or, "I don't think you're using that word right." And you see the adult character in the background looks utterly mortified by the use of this word, and you're like, "The creators have clearly know what this word actually means." And it's actually clearly very insulting, but it's fine for them to use it in the TV show because we have no context on Earth, so it's okay. But clearly, actually, it's a really, really bad word, which I thought was actually a really fun way of doing it by actually having people in the background going, oh, like, oh gosh, I can't believe you just said that.
Yeah, another one who's again, this is sort of young adult fiction, but avoided major swearing by using words that have dropped out of usage that were sort of medieval words for certain activities and body parts and things, and putting them in. And it's Tamora Pierce using with her Becca Cooper series. Becca Cooper's basically a medieval police officer.
Yeah, I remember.
Which I've obviously mentioned before, but they've
Yeah.
got things like scummer. Well, scummer would have been, you know when people had chamber pots and they used to just empty their urine and their feces into the street?
Hooray, yes.
That would be emptying the scummer pot.
Ah, lovely.
So you've got scummer, and when someone goes, "Oh, scummer," what they're saying is, "Oh, shit."
Yeah.
I love this because I'm a complete word nerd, so I know that these were actual words that were used. And scummer knob is calling someone a shithead, basically, which does happen. And then you've got swiving, which basically means fucking. Again, another word that's fallen out of usage over the last few hundred years, but is actually an accurate word for that activity. So I
I
can
think
respect that. It's not just made, it's not just something silly made up.
no, that is a nice way of doing it, is creating words or reusing words which no longer have a context within our society, which therefore makes them rude, but doesn't lose the power of what's actually being said, because it's all about the reaction, really, isn't it? See, this whole discussion takes me back to when I was a kid, and absolutely no swearing allowed. It was, we didn't swear, and one day, I was very young, and my brother and I had had a fight. And he went, "Yeah, well," and he kind of struggled for a moment, and then he raised his hand and he gave me the finger, and I was there like, "Oh!" And he just pulled his hand away, like he regretted it immediately, like, "Oh God, what have I done? What have I unleashed?" And I was mortified, and he was mortified, and I sort of I thought, I can never forgive him for this. This is I can't believe he did that. Utterly betrayed. It was this awful, terrible thing that he should never have done. I couldn't believe that he'd done that. And he couldn't quite believe that he'd done it. It was shocking. It changed everything. And now we sign off Facebook like, "Later, fuck face." So yeah, the use of the context and the use of words, as I said, and the use of certain that's one trope I really like in writing, where they can't swear, where you can't say they swear. So he says he pulled up a rude hand gesture which would have made someone blush or something like that. And I love the rude hand gesture, because you don't actually know what the rude hand gesture is, but you can imagine it.
It could have been anything. I mean, he could have been putting his thumbs together and making flapping like motions with his fingers, like he's miming a butterfly or
Yeah,
something.
it's just like, "How very dare you!"
"Did you just call me a papillon?" "No, I called you a schmetterling."
A schmetterling.
I think it's worth pointing out at this point that we probably have a little bit more fun knowing a few, or at least in my case, bits of other languages, because being able to swear in a few languages is just the best thing ever.
It is. It is. It's wonderful.
But I have to say, I do have a real weakness for Irish slang swearing.
Yes, you do, madam.
I do, and there are, I have to admit, pretty much all Irish slang slash swearing is, it's not very flatter, it's not very complimentary to the English.
Yeah, To be honest, we deserve it. The English deserve
I mean, for
it.
example, if someone was to say, "Yeah, well, that's English justice," it's clearly an oxymoronic position of words there. English justice is there's no kind of justice at all there. And it's the same if you called someone a Jackeen, that's actually a very rude word for someone who comes from Dublin, meaning, they supported the English and they flew the Union Jack, or the Union flag.
There was something to do with colonels as well, wasn't there?
Colonels.
There was something to do with I can't remember what it is, but yeah, the a lot of slang is I love using slang, which is typical to certain areas, which usually has a lot of racial connotations in and sorry, not racial, but political connotations as well. And dates back to something status-wise or political. I mean, if you even if, you look at bastard itself as a swear word, again, the origin of that is the word bastard, as in born out of wedlock to be a bastard. And you get a lot of swear words which have a very similar origin in that they are referencing something which was bad during a certain period of time, which has now just come to mean bad, even though the context for that is gone.
You will find if you happen to look at I'll go back to Irish slang. If you were to look at Irish slang, you will find there are so many words for idiot and there are so many words for drunk as well. It's almost like, one or two words isn't enough. No, we need an entire dictionary just for those two words. So you can be very, very creative calling someone an idiot in Irish. My personal, just because it kind of rhymes and I quite like the sound of it, is Pog Mahon, which means kiss my arse. And then you have unfortunate ones, which, language really documents history. You've got mot. Mot comes from mut, which is an Irish word for good, and it became a word that was synonymous with girl. So in Irish, good and girl were the same word. And then over here, when mot sort of travelled across the sea and was got used in Britain, mot became the word for prostitute, which tells you quite a lot about the time whereby people were leaving Ireland because they were starving and they were being forced into prostitution, having no jobs over here in England. So that's horrible. It's kind of like, well, you go with some other mot, meaning you go with another girl who, was good, except that now she's a prostitute. And I find that one really, really sad.
They often do have sad. I think the one of the funnest things I ever did, funnest things I ever did was obviously you've read Blood of the Delphi. You've met Erin. Erin is from Lammra. Lammra has a slang. I wrote this entire slang. It was influenced a lot by Irish slang. And it was the most enjoyable thing I've ever done. And I feel like I want to share a little bit of Lammran slang. Would that be permitted?
Go for it.
Yeah, I'll let it. So, and you can find this all on my website at the hamartiacycle.com. If you just go hamartiacycle.com, look under About the World, check Bithynian Law and Customs, and you'll find a dictionary of Lemran slang. You can have a read through some of these and the little stories that go with them. I'm trying to find a good few that you might enjoy. So here's one version of slang is that is to be at a mirror. To be at a mirror is either to be detached from everything which is happening or to not care what happens at all. Example, we were there bleeding and blood, and she was at a mirror. Origin, a reference to the historical tale of the wife of Lord Wickham, who, when questioned where she was when her husband's men revolted, stormed his hall and chased him around the room for 10 minutes screaming before beating him slowly to death with a leg of beef they stole from his kitchen, remarked that she'd been at her mirror during doing her hair the entire time and hadn't heard a thing. Then we've got bone rapist, is obviously self-explanatory, necrophiliac. Trying to find some of my favorite ones.
You know,
Do
you
it with oil.
do it with oil.
Do it with oil. Do something
You
the
say that
easy
after
way.
bone rapist.
Yes, do it with oil. Do it the easy way. Origin, the use of oil makes mechanics move with more ease and also makes certain acts of intimacy less painful and slicker. I don't need to explain that one. fuel my hair. This is a great one. To get the upper hand. Example, they were coming at me from all angles, but I managed to fuel the bastard's hair in the end. Origin, pirates off Lemra were rumored to cover their those sailors they defeated in oil and set them on fire. This proved to be the act of only one man, Captain Blacksword, born Peter Garth, whose fascination with fire led to his ship eventually sinking when, during such display, one man set the mast aflame and another ran below deck and set fire to the hull. So So yeah, groping turnips. I've forgotten I've written that one. A sign of desperation. The idea of sexualizing vegetables or household objects because you're not getting any.
Madeline, what goes on in your head? Why turnips?
Don't
Turnips!
know. Groping turnips. Humping a reaper. Le Man, the act of one man raping another or partaking in rough sex. Lap it, leashing, licking the wall. Lip bite, make like a three-legged lamb, a satirical suggestion that instructs you to flee fast while implying that you're not going to make it. A cruel play on the idea that three-legged lambs trying to flee their farmers unsuccessfully before being culled. Make like a three-legged lamb. There you go.
Some of this actually does make it into Blood of the Delphi, doesn't it?
It does, it does.
Which I really did actually enjoy those particular bits, especially. But I imagine other people reading them going, "What? What's he talking about? I don't know what he's saying."
You're really not gonna, you're not
I
supposed
need
to
a
understand.
glossary.
It's all on the website. Tis all on the website.
You've just reminded me one actually. Weirdly, you know, you were saying about your Hitchhiker's Guide example. I need to seriously reconsider where a word means one thing in one place and another thing in another place. Do not go to Ireland and ask for a ride. A ride in Ireland is someone who is generous with sexual favours. If you say, "Would you give me a ride?" it does not mean, "Please convey me to," or "Give me a lift in your car."
Please take me from A to B.
You're potentially asking or offering something else entirely. So it just shows how things change as you move across the sea. What's the other
Yes.
one that it means? Okay, this isn't a swear word, but it means something completely differently. You're going to be too young for this because this is rave talk. But to throw, seriously, but to throw shapes, to say, "Oh, I was out on Saturday and I was throwing some shapes," is like, okay, you're a sad, sort of slightly older person who's still going to raves potentially, or maybe you're not sad. Maybe you're having a great time. Good for you.
Good for you.
And it just refers to the exaggerated hand movements people used to do at raves, which are hilariously funny now you look back on it. I would like to say that I did not tend to participate in this sort of thing. But throwing
Awesome.
shapes, means something completely different in Ireland. Again, it means to act out aggressively. But I can imagine an Irish person saying to me, "Yeah, don't start throwing shapes." And I'd be like, "But I'm not dancing. What are you talking about?"
YMCA, it's fun to stay. We'll have none of that, thank you.
Yeah, sorry, we've gone off on a bit of a tangent
We
because
have
words are
gone
just so much fun. Okay,
off.
why would you incorporate swearing into your fantasy or science fiction novel?
Because I think it's realistic.
Yeah, and sometimes a word, no matter how foul someone else finds it, there is no other word that will convey the meaning, and part of your job as a writer is to get from A to B via the shortest and most nuanced route possible.
Yeah. Also, there's an element of that just because you yourself, even if you yourself as a writer don't enjoy swearing, your characters are individuals separated from you. You know, they come from you, but you have to write them as individuals. And there are lots of people who do swear, and there are lots of people who swear a lot. There are some people who don't swear at all. So you could have a character who never says anything worse than dang.
Dang.
Oh, dang it.
Dang.
And then you've got another character who'll say fuck fuckity fuck 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 every other word, like the Boondock Saints from the Boondock Saints, just one giant fuck as far I don't know if anyone's ever watched that one, but it's just it starts at the beginning. There's some cool Irish music. They start with the fur, and then a few hours later, it gets to the k. So, it's about finding diversity in characters, and one way to do that is the diversity of language, and that includes swear words.
Yeah.
And again, I should imply people who swear a lot in their writing should also remember that you should have characters who don't swear, and that you should mix it up. Just because someone it comes from a more kind of rural background does not mean that they're going to swear more. And just because they swore in the past doesn't mean they do it anymore. I know somebody who came from a background where swearing is incredibly commonplace, to the point where they were literally deaf to their own swearing
Yeah.
until they kind of became conscious of it when they were in the UK, rather when they came to England and someone said, "Hey, you're swearing in public. There are young kids around," and they didn't even realize, and then they stopped. And now, whenever they swear, it's shocking, actually. I get very sort of startled when they swear because I know something is incredibly wrong. Whereas with me, I swear pretty much every single day, so it's not going to be shocking. So you have to bear in mind that even if you have a character who swears, if someone else doesn't and then they suddenly use a swear word, the reaction should be appropriate because swear words will have different meanings depending who it's coming out of.
Yeah.
I'm
There.
just looking at, sorry.
No, carry on.
Well, I was just looking up a Reddit thing, which was your favorite fantasy curse words, and there are some golden ones here, which I feel we should end on. But I think you want to say something serious first.
No, I was only going to say, have you noticed that people seem to be less tolerant of female characters swearing than male characters?
Yeah, or
Particularly in young
female
adult
people.
fiction.
Yeah. It's not ladylike. Oh, piss off. I'll show you fucking ladylike. Beat you with a stick. That's ladylike.
So all that again is part of the you don't swear hangover. And we're not saying yes, pepper your speech with it, because at that point you become boring.
Yeah.
And as you said, it loses its power. But it's all language, so it's not something really to get hung up on, in my opinion.
And it's important to recognize where is a good place to swear and where isn't a good place to swear.
Yes, I mean, at Aunt Mabel's house for tea possibly is not the time to bring out the F's and blinds.
Yes, possibly.
Okay.
Unless Aunt Mabel is one of those people who throws shapes at the raves at the weekend, so in which case. Right, let's have a look at some of our favorite some of the favorite fantasy swear words on Reddit and see whether we can figure out where they came from. The Gentleman's Bastards, God's Immaculate Piss. That's fantastic. You are beyond mad, said Locke before several moments of silence. Silent, furious thought. Full-on barking madness is a state of irrational bliss to which you may not aspire. Men living in gutters and drinking their own piss would shun your company. You are a prancing lunatic. That is fantastic.
It's the word prancing that really makes it.
Prancing lunatic,
Oddly,
yes.
it's not the rest of it is prancing.
Exactly. And there we go. That's an excellent use of a swear, which is eloquent but is still a swear. Go piss up a hill. Oh, fuck me with a pole axe. Oh dear.
Ow.
Hood's marble balls on an anvil. Balls in general seems to be a good one. Blood and ashes, that's a good one. Hell's bells, that's a Dresden Files one. Fenner's hairy balls. It's all about balls, isn't it?
Ultimately.
Burn me. Merlin's beard. Merlin's beard. That was one of the Harry Potter ones. Oh, Merlin's beard.
That's pretty good though, isn't it? Considering context.
Yeah. No, tis good. Tis good. I'm trying to see if I can see any more. Barking spiders. That's fantastic. Mother's milk in a cup by the nine. Yeah. Maker's breath. Shit in ashes. That's a good one. From the Brimstone Angels. And Hodor. Someone put Hodor.
Well,
One
in
of my
fairness, we
favorites.
don't know.
But yeah, I think some of my favorite ones that I've ever written, just in the usual, is oh, I don't know. What are your some of your favorite ones that you've written
That I've written
recently? Yeah.
recently, Gobshite made a bit of a comeback.
Gobshite.
Stumblefuck for a clumsy person.
Stumblefuck. Yep.
These are all ones I've used as well. They've been published.
I've got What by the Power of Atia's Arse. I like that one. And Lactating Teat as well. What by the Power of Atia's Lactating Teat.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I did have fun sort of trying to do approximate swearing in what would have been Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah.
Obviously not in actual Anglo-Saxon, but I had things like God's Bollocks and...
The gods, yeah. Oh, that reminds me. I think one of my favourite swear words ever, and I hope to find the exact quote here, and it was in, oh gosh, Blood and Sand, Spartacus. Did you ever watch that?
No, I don't think I did. I'm assuming you mean the series, not the Charlton Heston movie.
Yes, I do mean the series. And there was a particular line which I have got to find. They used the word thorny cock a lot, which I thought was great. Spartacus, Blood and Sand. I never thought anyone looking at my internet history is just going to see a lot of swear words at the moment.
Be honest, you're pretty much damned as a writer with internet history, aren't you? Because there'll be things like, on one day it'll be how to dispose of a body, and on another it'll be, you know, the likely outcomes of incest or something horrible like that. So.
Oh, I don't think I can find the exact quote, but Jupiter's cock. They just use all of the gods, and all of the gods at some point get their cocks out, and then someone is described as having a thorny cock, which I think was just fantastic, because that had so many layers to it as an insult.
I'm assuming you don't mean literally.
Well, see, that's one of the layers.
Of course, we haven't mentioned one of the most important new swear words that we actually started the F jar for.
It's not a swear word, Jules. Fairy is not a swear word.
Oh. What's that? Is that the sound of a pound coin dropping into the F jar?
Oh, fuck off. Only word I'm not allowed to say on Dissecting Dragons is fucking fairies. And on that note, I think we'll call it. So thank you for listening, you glorious bastards. This is one of the only few episodes of Dissecting Dragons where we'll be allowed to swear, so I am gonna milk this for all it's worth, every single fucking drop. So thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed and that you're still with us. And we'll catch you up next week, where we'll be talking about something more demure.
Yes, in a proper English Rose accent. Proper royal. This has to be the most childish episode we've ever done.
Had to do it. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks, goodbye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Dissecting Dragons, the speculative fiction podcast. You can follow our podcast at podbean.com or from iTunes. For more information, visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/dissectingreaders or check out our author websites at jaironside.com and madelinevaughan.com. Please note, no dragons were harmed during the making of this podcast.